You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ in others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on Holy Name Sunday, January 1st, 2017, by the Reverend Steve Best, Associate for Couples and Family Life at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child. And he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
It's not often that New Year's Day lands on a Sunday, but here we are, the few, the brave, and the faithful. Actually, we already celebrated the beginning of the new year about a month ago. On the first Sunday of Advent, we Episcopalians, along with our Catholic and Lutheran friends, follow a different way of marking time than the rest of the culture. So Advent always points us to Christmas, and Christmas always points us to the point of our creation and our salvation story. The very moment that God named himself as human and decided to live and dwell among us, so that we might know God by name. If we look at the seasons of Advent and Christmas as a whole, we are invited into this magnificent spiritual drama characterized by waiting, attending, seeking, and ultimately welcoming anew the presence of God in our midst. Let's try to ponder for a moment, like Mary, that point in the original story at Bethlehem, when all of the initial excitement of the birth of Jesus had died down. The angels and the shepherds had all gone home, and the parents, Joseph and Mary, with the newborn baby, are trying to make sense of what had happened to them. Think of a time in your own life when there's been a major shift. Can you remember the disorientation, the confusion, the anxiousness, and also the excitement, all at the same time? Even if a birth of a child occurs in a high-tech local hospital, there is still that moment that every parent has when he or she becomes speechless because of the miracle that has just occurred. The overwhelming sense of responsibility as new parents, the search for new directions. It's such an odd mixture of excitement and apprehension all at the same time. I must add, there is even moments of terror. When Rachel was born, our daughter was born at Overlake Hospital, I remember looking at my wife, Janie, on the day of discharge, saying, "You mean the nurses don't come home with us?" I have no idea what Mary and Joseph were thinking when all the clamor and excitement had begun to die down. But we're given a clue that 8 days after the birth of Jesus, Mary and Joseph are trying to put a name on what happened, and they have to name their child. Now, they got some help from God about the naming of the child. Remember the visitation of the angel that was orchestrated by God? So they knew the name would be Jesus. And his mission was to be our salvation. He was God, but he would continue to have a human face throughout his whole life. As was the Jewish custom, on the eighth day following his birth, he was taken to the temple by his parents for the rite of initiation known as circumcision. This rite symbolized the establishment, the official proclamation of a special relationship between God and his people, a covenant. It is similar to baptism in that it's the way that a community officially belongs to God and recognizes it as such and belongs to each other. We proclaim each other's name. We name this child. We name this God. This is the God who brings us always into relationship. Now, when we think about the holiness of God's name, it's so easy to miss the mystery and the reverence that the ancient Christians originally felt. We have a clue that we should be seeing the reverence when we do the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be his name. But what makes the name of God holy is more than the word itself. It is the intent behind the word. While our society might shame us or look down on us for turning to God in vulnerability, for asking for help, true holiness is created every time we turn to God with absolute trust that he will come to help us and, yes, even save us. Most of us have had the experience of turning to God in times of great anxiety and fear, and we have discovered, hopefully, the most powerful prayer on the universe is simply the one-word prayer, Jesus. I hope this is comforting to you, that go to the prayer book and see these wonderful handcrafted prayers that are so gorgeous, but, you know, actually, Jesus just wants to hear his name. We are in intimate communication with God, who we know by name. Sometimes we say Jesus' name very softly. Sometimes we say it loudly. Sometimes reverently. And yes, even sometimes profanely. I have to confess about the profanely part. My office has a view of the golf course. The 17th hole, I hear Jesus' name. All things are redeemable. When we pray or sing the simple word Jesus, good things begin to happen. Just the other night, when enjoying a spectacular performance of Handel's Messiah at Benaroya Hall, I felt the power of Jesus' name. Sitting next to my wife, Janny, and I were two good friends who had just lost a child due to a miscarriage. Their grief, their sadness was palpable, and yet the soothing music of the evening did its magic. The choruses singing penetrated our hearts, and then we heard those hopeful words, "For us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Ever-Living Father, the Prince of Peace." Later that night, I learned of the Seattle Symphony's amazing program that partners with several organizations in the Seattle area that work with the homeless. The Symphony's mission is for their great music to go out into the community, to form relationships with residents of various shelters, and give them a chance to learn instruments, to play music, and eventually to co-produce concerts together. Isn't that a great idea? It's incredibly creative of how diverse people can come together, lift the human spirit, and help others to be known by name, and to help the Christ child to be known by name to those who have never heard his name. I'm reminded of the stirring words of Howard Thurman when he wrote this poem set to music. "When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart." On this occasion of the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus, let's remember the name that is above all other names. Let's remember each time we say Jesus that it's an act of faith, love, and service. Let's make our New Year's resolutions to each other and to God to keep saying, singing, praying the name of Jesus until we're delivered from all that burdens us, filled with a peace and joy that uplifts us, and strengthened by a faith that makes our burdens light and our spirits right. The manger is the perfect place to begin every new year. Amen.
Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.